Proverbs chapter 29, we read in verse 1 of that chapter. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. On the 14th of April, 1912, she which was deemed as unsinkable sadly sank to an icy and watery grave. Just before the clock struck midnight, the Titanic, she struck an iceberg. Literally gallons of water infiltrated her so-called watertight compartments. However, as we look at the Titanic, and we all know about the Titanic, one might wonder what had happened, what would have happened had the captain and the crew listened to the warnings that they had had concerning the iceberg. How different, perhaps, the results may have been had the individuals, the captain, the crew, listened to the warnings. You see, on the day that the Titanic crashed into the iceberg, she received 6 warnings of danger and doom. That morning at 9 a.m. exactly, the Titanic, she received her first warning from another ship named the Carnonia. However, the crew paid no attention and they carried on about their daily duties. Then at 1:42 p.m., in the afternoon, the second warning came from a ship called the Baltic. The message was passed on to Captain Smith, who discussed the matter jovially with the ship's owner, Mr. Ismay. Mr. Ismay, however, wasn't too worried about the warning, and he went back to lunch. And then later on that night, he even took the notice to dinner and nonchalantly laughed off the thought of the Titanic sinking with his guests at his evening meal. 3 minutes later, at 1:45... warning number 3 came, this time from the America. Then at 7:15, the captain came to Mr. Ismay. He asked him for the piece of paper that he had received earlier, and he placed it on the chart for the engine in the engine room for all the crew to see. Then at 7:30, the California, she sent warning of icebergs in the area. But sadly, Mr. Ismay was not aware at the time, as he was still dining a la carte with his guests at his evening meal. 9:40 p.m. dawned. The Titanic, she received her 5th warning from the Mizpah. However, sadly, the message never reached the bridge because an operator named Harold was taking a well-deserved rest. The 6th and final warning came at 11 p.m. However, radio operators paid no attention as they were too busy arranging limousines in New York to pick up the first-class passengers at the docks there in that city. Then at 11:39 p.m. at that night, the message came loud and clear through the radio. Watch out! Iceberg dead ahead. However, sadly, it was too late. The ship, she couldn't change her direction in time, and sadly, she ended up in wreckage and ruin. All because, my friend, the crew never listened to the warnings that they had received. You see, the man who is repeatedly reproved is often then suddenly removed. And tonight, like the cabin and the crew of those in the Titanic, and even the man who we're going to consider, perhaps maybe you've been warned, you've been reproved many, many times, and you've spurned the opportunity and rejected the opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, I say to you, be very, very careful. Be very, very cautious, because such an attitude may lead to a sudden and unexpected entrance into God's eternity. As the shout came from the Titanic, danger, turn around, don't hit the iceberg. I wonder tonight, how many times have you heard the call? Danger straight ahead. Turn around. Make for safety. And yet you have not listened. Oh, tonight, be warned about that type of attitude. Because the man who is repeatedly reproved, that person, that individual, that young person who is warned often about the danger of their sin and rejects the offer of mercy, God then comes at times and then takes that individual into his eternity. Oh, my friend, learn the lesson. Don't make the mistake that this man made in the text. Because tonight we want to look, as I said, about a real individual. as King Solomon perhaps was sitting in the palace, and he looked at a man, and a man had been warned about his conduct, warned perhaps about something he was doing in his business affairs. Maybe he was a subject of Solomon's. We don't know who he was. But nevertheless, I believe he was a real man, and he had been warned many a time. And what does Solomon say about this man? He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, he didn't listen, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Tonight I want to look at the man who is repeatedly reproved, but then suddenly removed. Repeatedly reproved, but suddenly removed. I want you to notice firstly here, looking at this man who Solomon viewed, I want you to notice his reproof. His reproof. The man in our text, he was reproved or he was admonished. He was spoken to and he was often disciplined. Think with me about the need for his reproof. Verse 1, we read, he that being often reproved. Now this word reproved, it is a bit of an archaic word in our language today. It speaks of the idea of being rebuked or being corrected, being chastened or being chastised. And the man here that Solomon viewed, he needed rebuked. He needed chastening. He needed correcting, just like we all do. And the reason that he needed reproof or he needed correction was there was obviously something he was doing that wasn't right. As I said, we can't be too sure what it is. Perhaps it was crooked business dealings. Perhaps he was treating an individual in not a very, very good way. But whatever it was in this man, there was something amiss in this man's life. And he had been reproved. He had been corrected. He had been told time and time again not to do that. Now, why had he been told to do that? Because it was wrong, and because this aspect in his life needed correcting. And that's why we are reproved. That's why we are chastised. Because there are things wrong in our lives that need to be put right. Solomon goes on to speak of this in regards to the raising of children. He says in verse 15 of Proverbs 29, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And he essentially says, the children, they need chastisement, they need discipline. Why? So that it gives them wisdom. So that they know that aspect of their life is wrong, and then they can put it right and seek to do right. And so here's an individual. He needed reproof. He needed chastisement. Why? Because of the presence of wrong in his life or the presence of sin in his life. You see, God never neglects reproof because we all need reproof. And tonight God challenges you. He reproves you. He at times rebukes you in order that you might turn from your sin and trust him as your Savior. Just as the child, as he is reproved, as he is corrected, that he might be obedient to his earthly father, so God, as a loving parent, he reproves you that you might turn to him, your heavenly father. Now tonight, how does God reprove you? How does God chastise you? How does he speak to you and speak to you concerning certain aspects in your life? Well, there is the reproof of Scripture. Do you not at times look at the Bible and you see your sin? You realize there are things wrong, things amiss in your life, and so you put the matter right, and it shows you your sin in order that you might flee to Christ. And at times there is the reproof of circumstance. Sometimes God comes to you, speaks to your life through a death, a tragedy, a sickness. And he's essentially trying to get your attention. He's reproving you that you might again turn to him for mercy. Sometimes it's not the reproof of Scripture, nor the reproof of circumstance. Sometimes it's the reproof of the preacher. Sometimes the preacher has to call out specific sins in your life so that you're convicted and challenged. My friend, God, he rebukes you for your good. And maybe that's happening this evening. Maybe the Lord perhaps is speaking to you. He's showing you your sin. My friend, it's for a good. It's a good thing. It's for a good reason. It's to show you that you need to turn and trust in him. Indeed, in Leviticus 26, we read in the verse 41, "If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity." The word humbled here, it means to be brought into subjection or discipline. And Moses, he reminded the children of Israel that it was only as the heart was disciplined by God, then they would truly accept the punishment for their sin. You see, God reproves you in order that he might reform you. He calls out your sin so that ultimately it will lead you to seek him for mercy and for salvation. And although you may not like it, that is what God does. He reproves you because you need it. We all need it. We all need at times that comforting but challenging rebuke of the Lord. Think of it this way. It's a mercy. It's a mercy that God would speak to you in love. That he would come. That he would speak to you personally as a human being. In amongst the billions of people in fallen humanity. And he would speak to your heart and show you that you need to repent. You know, someone has rightly said, when a child can be brought to tears, not from fear of punishment, but from repentance of his offense, his chastisement will then cease. When the tears begin to flow from grief at his conduct, be sure there's an angel in the nestling. And tonight that's exactly the same with you. My friend, God reproves you. He reproves you that you might repent and turn to him. The need of his reproof, this man, this individual that Solomon was watching. But also notice here the number of his reproofs. Verse 1 again, we read, "He that being often reproved." It wasn't that this man was challenged just once. And then whenever he didn't listen and he didn't obey, then God simply left speaking to him. No, he was challenged. He was often reproved. He was spoken to and convicted many, many times. And again, although it doesn't seem like it, this is a mercy. God, he could have spoken to that person once, and whenever he saw that they weren't listening, then he could have withdrawn himself, and that person could have been ushered into eternity. But this shows the patience, the long-suffering, the kindness of God. That God would continue to speak to this man, even at first when he didn't repent. He was reproved many, many times before he was eventually destroyed. And although God can cease challenging you, yet tonight God in mercy still continues to convict you. In mercy, God speaks to you time after time after time. Tonight, have you not been given many, many opportunities to turn and to seek the Savior? Perhaps it's been many a year, and you've heard the gospel week in, week out. You've heard it month in, month out, year in, year out. And yet as yet, you have not yet turned to Christ. Oh, my friend, be very, very careful. Be very, very wary, because God could withdraw his speaking hand, his speaking voice, at any time from your life. And so I say to you, make use of the opportunity. Trust him whilst there is time. Indeed, speaking of the mercy of God, speaking to them many, many times, we read there in Jeremiah 25, verse 3, as he speaking of the children of Judah, hearing the many reproofs of God. Jeremiah, he said, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, but ye have not hearkened. Jeremiah was a prophet, and his ministry spanned some 40 years through Israel. He was a prophet, a preacher during the reign of Josiah, but he was also a preacher during the reigns of Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and also Zedekiah. And here he said to the children of Judah, the word of the Lord, it's come to me. And now many years later, it's still coming. I'm still warning, and yet you have not listened. The strivings of the Spirit are not singular, but rather they're multiple. God has spoken to you. He has striven with you. He has challenged you many, many times. God's given you many, many opportunities. He has warned you, he's reproved you, he's convicted you many, many times. And tonight, here's another one. Here's another opportunity. Well, my friend, don't make the mistake that this man made. Don't, as it were, stop listening to the Savior. But tonight, trust him, because you've had many, many opportunities. God has been merciful to you. Let's be honest about it. God has been very, very merciful, given you many opportunities. There are people in this earth who have never heard the gospel, and they have never even read a portion of the Bible. But that's not your lot, sinner. God has given you many, many opportunities. You have been often reproved, just like this man. His reproof. But how did this man respond? I want you to notice, secondly, here his response. He received many corrections, but sadly he didn't respond well. Verse 1, we read, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. The phrase hardeneth his neck, it carries in the Hebrew a word picture. It draws in our minds the picture of an obstinate ox. The farmer comes along, comes to the oxen, and he wants to try and coerce the oxen into the yoke. The oxen knows it's coming. And the oxen, in knowing that discipline, that subjection of the yoke is coming, what does the oxen do? He hardens his neck and he turns his neck away from the yoke. He doesn't like the discipline of the yoke, and so he hardened his neck against it. And Solomon here, he said he saw a man, and it was just like the oxen. As he saw the reproof coming, as he heard the reproof, as he was reproved many, many times in his life, this man, it was just like the obstinate ox. He didn't listen. He hardened his neck, and he ultimately rejected the reproof of the Lord. And whilst God's reproof should soften your heart, perhaps tonight they have sadly toughened your heart. They have toughened your heart, and you yet rebel against the Savior. Oh, God has spoken to you many times, spoken to you through Scripture, spoken to you through the speakers, spoken to you even through circumstance. He has confronted you by your sin. Maybe perhaps you're just like this man. You've hardened your neck. You've become so hardened that you, as it were, know what's coming, and you just don't want to listen. You are now at that point, like this man, where you have toughened your heart against Christ. The psalmist likens those who don't listen to his reproof. He likens them to a very, very interesting animal. Psalm 58, verse 4, speaking of the wicked, speaking of the sinner, who doesn't listen to the reproof of God. He says in that Psalm 58, verse 4, they are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear. And the phrase here, adder, the snake adder, really, in the Hebrew, he's referring to the python. The python is an animal who is not deaf naturally. It actually has better hearing than it does sight. But as this adder grows older, it loses its sense of hearing. And in one part of its body, what it actually does is to block out the sound of the charmer who's trying to woo that certain snake. It bangs its head against the floor and stuffs dust into its ear. And the Lord, he likens the sinner to this snake. He's essentially saying, look, this is what you're like. In seeing that the sound of the charmer of the Scripture, the charmer of God himself, you stuff your ear full of stuff. And my friend, rather than loathing the Scripture, you should listen to the Scriptures. You should listen to the reproofs of the Word of God. Don't make the mistake like this man made. Don't be like him. But my friend, when the reproof comes, when the warning comes, when the call comes to repent and believe the gospel, my friend, listen. Listen. Don't harden your neck and toughen your heart against Christ. You know, a couple arrived at a railway station one day. It was quite a historic thing, and there were old trains there. And to their surprise, an old locomotive pulled up just along where they were waiting on another train. As this old locomotive pulled up, the wife, she turned to the husband, and she said, well, dear, Do you think it's going to start, or do you think it'll give in? And the man, the husband, he said, oh dear, that old train, she'll never start, she'll never start. Then the conductor came, he waved his flag, the bell sounded, and the old train, at first she began to chuckle, but then after a while she gathered up a bit of momentum and then she took off. The wife, knowing she was right, smiling to herself, she turned to her husband and she said, well dear, so much for that old train. And that old stubborn husband, he said, oh dear, she'll never stop, she'll never stop. And tonight we're not to have a heart of stone, but rather we are to have a heart of sponge. Wonder, do you have such a heart like that? Do you have that soft heart? That soft, that tender heart to the reproof, the warnings of God? Or are you like this man who hardened his neck at the reproof? His reproof, his response. But I want you to notice lastly here his ruin. Because here we find the outcome of his constant hardening his neck against the reproof. I want you to notice two things about this ruin. Notice here his ruin was unexpected. Unexpected. Verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, and notice it, shall suddenly be destroyed. The phrase be destroyed there in the Hebrew, it carries again with it an interesting word picture. It pictures a vessel, a clay pot that has just been manufactured by a potter. And then an iron rod comes, and that iron rod, it suddenly falls upon the vessel, never to be mended again. And in describing this iron rod, we're told here that it was suddenly destroyed. The phrase suddenly in the Hebrew, it carries with it the thought of the blink of an eye, or the wink of an eye. You know the way sometimes, often you blink or you wink. It's a very, very sudden thing. You could hardly count how long it takes to blink. And here we find again Solomon, as he looked at this man, as he watched him out, whatever he was doing, whatever business he was conducting, and then he was reproved and he hardened his neck. What happened to him? He was suddenly destroyed. He was suddenly dismantled. In the blink of an eye, it was just like an iron rod that came upon him and dismantled his life in pieces. He was suddenly taken from God's earth and taken into God's eternity. And when you continue to rebel and reject, you may then be suddenly removed. God may come to you and he might say, that's it. No more opportunities. And he may require you at his judgment bar suddenly. Oh, tonight, would that not teach you to be ready? Because the Lord could come and he could just dismantle your life. He could take you suddenly. At a time when you least expect it. The Lord, he could just come to you and you could be suddenly required to answer for your sin at his judgment bar. Oh, make haste. Make haste to the feet of Christ. Because if you don't, and the Lord is speaking to you, striving with you many, many times, he may then just say, that's it. He may then just say, I've had it with this individual. His patience may wear thin, and he may take you from this life. Paul spoke of this sudden taking of his people, and suddenly taking those who didn't expect it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, speaking here of a second return, he says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And he said there were those, whenever he would return, and they would come to take his children, there would be those, and they would cry out, peace, safety. But the Lord said, it would be too late. They would not escape. You see, eternity comes expectantly for some, but unexpectedly for others. It can come at a time suddenly, unexpectedly, hastily, when you least expect it. And so tonight, And I say this with all of the solemnity that God may give me. Tonight may be your last chance. It may be your last opportunity to hear the gospel, to hear concerning Christ, to hear your need of a Savior. I say to you with all of the love in my heart, don't make the mistake of this man, because you could be suddenly destroyed. His ruin was unexpected. But also notice here lastly, his ruin was ultimate. This verse, verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The phrase without remedy here, it means no cure. It carries with it the idea in the Hebrew of a disease, a deadly disease where there's no cure, where there's no turning back. When that disease comes, that's it. And again, Solomon, he takes this word, takes this picture, and he's speaking of a man, this man who'd been reproved often, and then the Lord came, and the Lord dismantled his life. And whenever the Lord came and took him from earth, that was it. There was no cure. There was no turning back. There was no second chances then. He was reproved never to return. And when Christ calls you into eternity, whilst at times it is sudden, it is always sure. There is no reversing that process. God will take you. And whenever, my friend, you leave this earth, that will be it. There will be no second chances. There will be no purgatory. There will be no opportunity when you stand before Jesus Christ, the great judge of this earth, and you'll say to him, you maybe perhaps think you'll say to him, oh, well, I didn't know, or if only you'd give me another opportunity. It'll not be like that, my friend. There will be no second chances in eternity. Your ruin, it will be ultimate. My friend, when you're in hell, you will never return. You will spend all eternity in hell, repeatedly reproved, then suddenly removed. God came to this man. Whoever he was, we do not know. But he was a real man nonetheless. And he warned him, but he didn't listen. He hardened his neck, and he was suddenly taken, never to return. Don't make the same mistake. But my friend, don't harden your neck against the Lord, but come to him and take him to be your Savior. May God bless his word to your hearts and souls this evening.